Can you build real love while starring on OnlyFans? Colby Faulx opens up about relationships, sexual fluidity, and the truth behind intimacy in the adult industry. This one's raw. Welcome to the Digital Dating Podcast with Anonymous Andrew. I have what I think an exquisite and a very interesting topic tonight. With me tonight is Colby Faulx, and I think that's all I'm going to say. I'm going to let Colby explain who he is and what he does.
G'day, Andrew. Yeah, so my name is Colby Faulx, and I'm actually Australian, so I'm here in Melbourne. And look, I guess I'm someone who's spent the last few years navigating the highs and lows of modern relationships while working as a porn star in the gay adult industry. How this ties in, I guess, like, dating's never simple, but, you know, throw in an OnlyFans career, a bit of a public breakup, and the challenge of balancing my work with the personal connection, and things do get a bit complicated. So
I follow celebrities, and I can't imagine how celebrities, like Hollywood celebrities, how their love lives play out, you know, in the public media, in social media, in all those newspapers. So, well, let's talk about that. So you're a OnlyFans star, and I understand that you're pretty big in Australia, and I would imagine maybe globally. Do you have an audience around the world?
I do. Most of my audience is actually based in the States.
Really?
Okay. Brazil. So I can walk into a bar in LA and be noticed. I can walk into a bar in Barcelona and people will come up and ask for selfies. So yeah, it's
cool.
A bit weird.
Yeah, it's stardom. You've made it to the level of celebrities.
Thank you.
That's yeah.
Wasn't my intention.
Well, let's talk about that. How did you start?
So I was with my partner, Sam Brownell, who now we're no longer together, but we were together for some time, and it was actually during COVID that we started OnlyFans. There was a few things that got us into it. Number one, we had a lot of time to have sex, and I started hearing of this thing of OnlyFans, and it wasn't quite mainstream yet. I used to actually work for a few years helping out in film and TV production as one of my kind of like various jobs I was doing in my early 20s, and I'm 40 now. So this, during COVID back in about 2020, started hearing of this thing of OnlyFans, and I thought I'd log on because I was looking at watching porn during the day or at night because there's nothing much to do in lockdowns in Australia. And I saw that people were just filming porn on their phones and putting it up and making a lot of money. And I thought, fuck, I could do that. We could have sex and do that.
I think if I had that opportunity, I would jump at it myself. But yeah. I don't have the physique or the skills. I can see the allure of doing that.
I mean, I was like more chubby. I was what they call in the gay community a bear, so a bit bigger and a bit burlier. But I think the thing with OnlyFans that people don't realize is because it's your own page, it's kind of like Facebook for porn, where you make a profile and then you can upload stuff on your profile, and that can be pornographic. It could be whatever you want, but majority of it's now pornographic. And people subscribe to you, kind of like sending you a friend request. They'll pay like a subscription per month. And essentially, they get kind of like an adult version of Facebook, where they'll get a feed of people that they follow or subscribe to with porn that they're putting up, and you can chat with them and do a whole heap of things. So it's a little bit more interactive, but I tend to think of it like the adult version of Facebook.
So are you having sex with your partner, or is it just you?
You can kind of do whatever you want. Because I had my partner, I was doing a mix of solo content, which was just me, as well as having sex with Sam, my partner. We then started to, so one of the ways to sort of grow your audience on OnlyFans is actually to then start to appear on other people's pages. And by doing that, you work with, or you film a sex scene with somebody else, like another OnlyFans creator. So it's called collabing. So when you collab with someone, you both put the videos up on your pages, and then if their audience likes you, they'll start to jump across to you as well.
It's the same thing in podcasting. If I guest on another podcast, hopefully I get a crossover. Yeah, okay. Have you ever performed in any mainstream gay films?
No, so I haven't done any studio work. I think I have had offers to do that, but I'm based out in Australia, down in Melbourne. So for me to fly to the States or to fly to Europe is, you know, a 24-hour journey.
So there's no porn produced in Australia, either gay or straight?
There is, but it's not as big as the States in terms of distribution.
Okay.
And I think the thing with OnlyFans too is the reason why it's become such a big success is because back in the day, the studios kind of had control of porn, and it meant they had control of the look, the feel, and what you were consuming. Like for myself, I was never really like, I'm actually a bottom. So for me, when I would consume porn when I was growing up, bottoms weren't really big masculine guys. They were smaller, twinkier, effeminate boys.
Subordinate.
Yes, yeah. So I take it in the ass.
Yeah. I was just going to ask you, what does bottom mean versus top? But okay, you just told us. So thank you. Okay.
Whereas back in the studio days, the tops were more masculine, were supposed to be dominant and bigger. So they're the ones fucking, you know, because the bottom was seen as the woman and the man was the top.
Okay.
But that's not the case. As you know, like people like myself, we take on all different sexual positions. So with OnlyFans, it's kind of allowed people like myself to come in and go against what the studios have established and develop your own brand, your own niche, and in turn, attract your own audience. So, you know, there's people of all body shapes. Some of the biggest and most successful creators, you know, are plus size models, which the studios would never have hired in the gay end.
I've heard that. Yeah.
You know, like I remember like one of Gwen Adora, she's a big OnlyFans and Pornhub creator. And I met her in LA at the Pornhub Awards a few years back. And she's a great plus size model and she's doing amazing, you know, because she's in demand. But she would never have got those offers from a studio back in the day.
I'm going to ask you a question that you probably get asked a lot, but I'm just curious because I wonder the whole concept of homosexuality. So when was the first age you knew that you were into men?
I mean, I sort of always knew when I was younger. I obviously didn't know that it was like my sexuality, but I never really was. I guess the way I kind of started to figure it out is I grew up in Outback Australia, you know, quite a rough, it's kind of like growing up in rural Texas kind of thing. And then
good analogy.
Yeah, then I moved to Tasmania in farming land, which is kind of like the Midwest of the States. So, you know, I grew up in these kind of hyper-masculine areas, and being gay was actually illegal in my state up until 1999.
Oh my God.
And, you know, like the way I noticed it is I'd be with my cousins or whatever, and we'd be out riding our bikes around, and a girl from school would go past on the bike, and they'd all look and whistle or whatever. But for me, I had total like blinders on. I didn't even see her, you know. So then I started to realize, fuck, why am I not seeing what they're seeing? But then I'd be watching the football or something and I'd be looking at the guys and I wouldn't be looking at the game. I'd be looking
at their butts. Yeah.
Yeah. Or something, thinking, fuck, he's all right, eh? So, you know, it was like those little things that then I started to realize, hang on, I'm a little bit different compared to my mates and my cousins.
Okay. So the question that I was going to ask you and I kind of went around about is that, have you ever had sex with a woman?
No, I haven't. So
really?
I have started to, now that I've been doing OnlyFans for 5 years, I have to say that from when I started to where I am now, my sexuality and my kinkiness in terms of what I'm comfortable doing now has definitely grown. And I have worked with trans creators, but I haven't yet worked with a woman, but I've started to now think about engaging in that just to try something different and bring something different to my fans. So, because I do get requests from people asking me to be with a woman. So
I can only suggest that you try it. How do I say this without outing myself, which I guess I just did? There's a big difference between a man's butt and a woman's vagina. Huge difference. So,
yeah,
at least before you die, try it once.
Well, I mean, you know, my current partner is actually bisexual, so
okay, there you go. All right. Yeah, but being bisexual usually means that you can go either way, but you haven't gone the other way yet, right?
I haven't, but he's only dated women before me, so.
Okay, so that's your new partner.
Yes, yeah.
Yes, okay.
Well, and my previous partner, Sam, had only dated women until he met me as well. But we never explored. He kind of realized he was gay once he met me as opposed to being fully bisexual. Yeah, but see, I would, because I think the reason why I've never been with a woman is because I'm not naturally a top. I'm not really someone who's looking to fuck. I prefer more to be fucked. So,
well, women can do that.
They can, absolutely. So I've worked with trans creators, but, you know, like I was looking at working with some women to peg me. So I would be interested to see how that would go.
Yeah, because a woman, if you're lying down and, God. I have an explicit warning on this podcast, and I which is fine. It's an adult podcast. Anyway, when you're lying down, a woman can climb on top of you. So she's on top, you're on the bottom, and you can still have intercourse with her. And
yeah, well, I'm talking more about her putting a strap on and going inside me. So pegging. So,
okay. Yeah. Okay.
So. Because I get off more on anal play than I do.
Yeah. Well, as a fellow male in the gender club, our prostate is a sexual organ. And
I'm very in tune with it.
Yeah. So, okay. I'm preaching to the choir. Like, I don't need to tell you that. So, oh gosh, I have so many questions. So, all right. So you told us how you got into it. Did you kind of take off right away, or was it a slow build?
No, I guess basically a couple of things. So like I was saying, collabs are sort of the way to grow your audience quite quickly. Because I'm based in Australia, we're quite remote from the rest of the world. Kind of like there are cities that have big OnlyFans creator hubs now, like LA, New York, London, and a few more, Barcelona. Are popping up, and they're kind of places where people are, there's a lot of people, and people are traveling through as well. So like overseas creators are traveling through. Where we are is quite remote, so we never really get a lot of visitors coming through. We'll get the odd one, but not much. And when I started as well, I could probably count on one hand how many other gay male creators there were in Australia to work with. And so there wasn't really a lot of people. We were kind of pulling in friends and stuff, but they didn't have audiences. They were just filming with them, and or they were building up their page as well. So we didn't kind of explode because we didn't quite get the reach straight away. But in our second year, we actually traveled to London. I think we were one of the first sort of Aussie creators to do an overseas trip where we went to London. My first collab was with Andy Lee and Big Liam in London, who are like two massive OnlyFans stars. We shot with PJ Knox, Mr. Britain X, a couple of ex-porn stars and stuff, Jake Manson, all these big names in the gay world. So we went from being, you know, kind of nobody to all of a sudden working with the big London creators and appearing on their feeds. And so we kind of got started to be recognized as the Australian boys. And today, whenever you talk about Australian gay OnlyFans, people think you're referring to us.
Yeah. Okay. You had mentioned a little earlier that in your earlier days, you were a little chubbier and a little...
Yep.
Pudgy, I guess. I have to tell the audience, now this is being recorded on video and I will probably release it on YouTube within the next couple of months. But to the audience, I am looking at a 40-year-old man who, if I was gay, I would reach through the screen right now and pull him out. He is stacked and built, and not to mention he's got a sleeve of tattoos, which I do too. Yep, yep. All right. So very, very, very handsome guy. And just to the ladies, although he's not into you right now, but to the ladies, well, you might want to. Yeah. There you go. Brilliant. Brilliant idea. Let me ask you a question. Let's say you were at a bar. You mentioned something that you were in California, I think, or New York somewhere. You were in the States and you were at a bar and you said you get recognized. What would happen if a woman approached you and wanted to take you home for the night?
I mean, I actually get quite nervous around women. And I think it's because I just, like, I know how to read a man because I am a man. So I know exactly what they want. You know, men, when it comes to sex, are a lot more impulsive. We kind of act on instinct. We get horny. We want to get off. And then when we get off, we just want to have something to eat and go to bed. I've never had that experience with women in terms of sex. So I don't know how to read a woman. So I get nervous.
I get that because I get nervous around beautiful women. So it's, I get it.
And then I think too, because also the media have this portrayal that, like, you know, like the women's, they portray women as thinking that men has to be this big dominant thing. And I think I'm not that when it comes to sex. I'm actually quite submissive.
That was correct 10, 15, 20 years ago. And this is kind of what my podcast is about, is like the landscape of dating is changing completely. So the rules go out the window.
Yeah, fucking
right. If there was a woman that you met at a bar that knew who you were and she wanted not to turn you or convince you to turn straight, but she's got a fetish for gay guys and wants to... Yep. Because there are people out there who have, there are straight men who think that they can turn lesbian straight. You know, of course, it's all in their head. But if a woman approached you and said, I'm going to take you home and fuck you, I would think I would just go home and follow her lead.
Look, I'll give you some insight into me. For me, my biggest turn on is someone being very direct and coming up to me. So if I'm in a bar and a guy comes up to me and is like, I want to fuck you, I'll just melt at my knees and be like, okay, take me.
So no matter what he looks like?
That, if a woman did that, I would probably do the same thing. So
okay.
I reckon, like, I'm at that point now where I probably would, my curiosity would be better of me, and I'd probably do it with my partner, my current partner, and have a threesome. So,
okay,
that way I'd feel more comfortable, and he could.
And he's been with women.
He's been with women, yeah.
All right, so he could kind of guide you through, like, the oral sex, and maybe,
kind of make it a bit kinky, you know, like make me eat her out, you know. Yeah, like, because I'm submissive, so being told what to do, not necessarily want to do it, but being told turns me on. So,
you know, it's funny, you're kind of blowing my whole, and this is why I wanted to have you on the show. There's so many misconceptions. So I'm looking at Colby. I'm telling you, he's like Arnold Schwarzenegger type big. He's got big forceps. He's very handsome. He's got a beard. Really, really, really handsome guy. But I would think that somebody like you would be a top. Like, you would be the dominant one.
Yeah, well, that's the misconception, right?
Thank you. Yeah.
That's what we've been spoon-fed, and I guess that's what a big part of my platform is as well, is that, like, I guess I would say, you know, like, I'm straight passing what they say, and by that I mean I would walk down the street or go to my supermarket or whatever, and people won't look at me and instantly recognize that I'm gay. Whereas some gay guys, you know, they have a personality where you would be able to recognize that they are gay.
Gaydar. The term is gaydar. You've heard that term? Yeah, gaydar. Yeah. I mean, gay guys know other gay guys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, but I mean, even, I think, like, even straight people, you know, have been told that gay guys have to look and act a certain way, you know, like Will and Grace or Modern Family, where it kind of hyper camp, or, you know, like, obviously they're gay. But my whole thing is that, well, like, sexuality is very fluid. Anybody could be gay and you might not know. So, you know, we don't fit into a mold.
Let me ask you this. There are a lot of gay guys. Let's talk about Will and Grace. There are many, many, many gay men who have a very feminine personality. They're effeminate. And you look at them right away and go, he's gay. So you know. I don't get that vibe from you.
Yeah, and that's what I mean. I'd be straight passing. And there are plenty of blokes like me that are gay, and you wouldn't know that they are gay from looking at them. But I think, you know, society's sort of been told just through media, and that this is like over the last 10 and 20 years when I was growing up as a gay boy, I could never find anyone that I would relate to. because I was doing all the straight things. I was into sports. I was going out with mates and stuff like that. You know, I wasn't playing with dolls and dressing up in dresses and stuff when I was younger. But for me, like, there was no representation in the media of guys who were gay that looked like me. So I thought I was the only one. I thought, oh, fuck, I'm alone. What's wrong with me? That was my whole thing growing up. Now I've obviously realized that's not the case. There were probably heaps of gay blokes, but I just didn't see them because I didn't have visibility that gay blokes could look like that. So, but that's changing now. You know, I think with social media, with OnlyFans and stuff, you are finding, you know, a lot of people, and there's a lot of bisexual guys. I think actually being bisexual is a lot harder for men than it is to be gay. I think people get being gay, they can understand it. But bisexuality, I think, is something that is a little bit more hard for people to comprehend because they think, well, it's a switch that you switch between. It's like, no, it's not like that at all, you know? So interesting.
Yeah, I'd like to comment.
Probably have more to say on that than me.
Yeah, but I'm not going to. So for now, I have been open and honest with my audience from day one, and I have poured my heart out, especially after the breakup. But over the years, I'm coming up on a little over 2 years on the podcast. There's like really nothing I haven't told my audience, but there's some things I just haven't divulged yet. But I guess the people on the podcast can read between the lines and see what I'm referring to. Let's go back to the OnlyFans, the challenges of having an OnlyFans account, being very, famous on them, and dating. So You had a partner, and then the two of you split. I don't know if you want to tell us the story about that. And then you have a new partner. And how is it dating? Well, see, this is more heterosexual question. But if you're on an OnlyFans and you're single, but you want to date and have a partner, you have to tell that partner, by the way, I'm on OnlyFans and I'm performing open gay sex in front of an audience for money. There's a lot of people that might... Like me, my last girlfriend was doing that and doing it behind my back, and I was not okay with that. So how do you navigate the dating world?
Well, I mean, for me, like, one of the other reasons we started OnlyFans is, like, we were, like, I've always been in open relationships as well. I've never had monogamous relationships, and that's pretty common in the gay world, and that's because I know I end up cheating. In my past relationships, I would be the cheater, and I was like, I can't do monogamy. I have to do open relationships. So for me, so we would have dating apps, and photos started to appear online of us anyway. So our photos were online. And so one of the other reasons we got into OnlyFans is we said, well, there's already photos of us online on, like, Reddit forums, like gay Reddit forums and stuff, like, you know, like, people take photos or lift them up from your profile or your nudes. And so we said, we're already nude on the internet. Why don't we put content out and make money? Now, you got to think, once it's on the internet, it's always there. So I would say anyone who's looking at getting into OnlyFans, just take heed of that, you know, someone will find out. So for me, there's no point trying to hide the fact that I do OnlyFans to someone I'm going to be dating, because they're going to find out.
They're going to find out anyway, right? Yeah.
And it doesn't go away, you know. So I would say that, you know, if you are going to be open and dating someone, you don't have to kind of put it in your profile, but it would be something that you've got to be mindful of, that, hey, this is what I do, because you are going to have to, you know, set nights aside to film content either by yourself or with other people. You are going to have to travel to shoot sex scenes with other people, and it's going to be online, and they're going to find it and you found it. So
yeah, you know, like, yeah, and there's a whole story behind that. She actually came to me one day, and I think she was testing the waters with me, and she said to me, she used to send me a lot of nudes, and I thought she literally took them from me. I found out later that she had a library of 1,000 nudes, and they were all for online content. She was just sharing some of them with me. And of course, in my brain, my ego was thinking, oh, wow, she did this for me. And it turns out that no, she was doing it. And she came to me one day and said, because I was looking at some of these pictures with her, and I said, these are beautiful. Like, you should, I can't believe I said this. I said, you could make a lot of money if you sold these. She jumped out of bed, started flailing her arms going, you would let me do that? And I said, she was unemployed at the time. And she said, if you could make money doing that, but that's all you did. So she couldn't fuck on OnlyFans. She would have to do private entertainment, like, you know, with vibrators or something. And that conversation was very short-lived, because as soon as the words came out of my mouth, I kind of took them back in, because I had a feeling that that's where she was going. And then I find out later down in the story, there was much more to that story. So I had this conversation with Vic Legina, who I mentioned to you. He ran the Pornhub. He was a big shot with the Pornhub. I don't know that I could date, whether it's male or female, somebody who was in the adult entertainment industry. Because at night, they're going to come home to me. But all day long, they're either sucking dick or fucking pussy or whatever. And now they're going to climb into bed with me. And how do I distinguish whether or not they're just having another sex scene in their mind, or they're actually enjoying it with me? And not to mention that all day long, I know she's on set or he's on set doing what he's doing. That I am a jealous person. I would be jealous that he's sucking dick or she's fucking whatever, you know what I'm saying? And so I don't think that I could do that. But the world is changing. There are so many polyamory, polygamy, ethical non-monogamy relationships going on, and it's always been going on for centuries, but now it's accepted. It's more mainstream. So besides Vic Legina, I had several couples come on, tell their stories about their polygamy. Not polygamy, that's multiple wives, polyamory, where they would go out and have sex with other people and come home at night and they were in love. And while that's not, I couldn't do that, but I can understand how some couples can do that and maintain and sustain their relationship. Their relationship may need that to keep it together. So tell us about your second, you have another partner now who, and I think it's okay to say this because you have it in your bio that he has not come out of the closet yet. All right. Of course, we'll keep his name as not.
Go ahead. Yeah, that's all right. He met me just over a year ago now, and essentially we hooked up a few times and he didn't realize who I was. So we had great sex and had really good chemistry and whatever. And then it kind of clicked for him after a few dates that, oh, fuck, that's, you know, he'd already jerked off to me online on a few of my videos and made the connection, kind of freaked out a little bit. Said he had a fangirl moment. But what essentially, like, yeah, it is very tricky because I'm very public and I do have sex for a job, and he's not out and obviously wants to stay very private while he navigates that. But we're in a relationship now. And so, you know, for me, I guess what you're saying too is that, like, I go out and I do collabs and then I come home and how do you differentiate between the sex? And it's like, well, I think, like, one of the breakdowns for my ex-partner, Sam, and I, we still remain good mates and business partners today, but what happened was because we were doing so many scenes together, we were, you know, sex on camera is very different to sex in the bedroom.
Correct.
You know, on camera, you start to learn that you look good in particular angles for the camera. You start to do things for the camera. Like, I moan a lot more differently for a camera just to kind of give the audience, because the audience has certain expectations when it comes to porn. Even though it's amateur, they're still expecting a certain sort of, you know, look and feel to get off to, because that's what they want. They want the fantasy. Sometimes, you know, like, Sam and I started to have a lot, we've done over 500 scenes. So we started to have less sex in our personal lives. And that kind of led towards us becoming more business orientated in our personal life as well. So the sex did contribute towards our breakdown.
Okay. The new partner now that we're going to keep anonymous, does he perform with you online?
No, so he doesn't do any, he has nothing to do with content.
All right, because he's not out of the closet, so if he appeared with you, he'd be outed.
Yeah, and even still, I think that I probably wouldn't want to date someone else in the adult industry as well.
Thank you.
Because for me, like, having something to myself that's private and that I have an actual connection and intimacy with is something that is mine and only his. Whereas when I go and I work with someone, like I may be mates with my collab stars and stuff, and we do have like a sexual connection or whatever, but I don't have that intimacy or that romance or that love that I have with my partner. And the sex is very like, there's a cameraman there, or there's a phone on a tripod, and we're doing things that we know we need to do, and we pump out a scene, and it's still hot, but it's not the same as being with my partner and having an intimate moment or exploring stuff together. Like, it's very transactional because you're doing it as a job. Afterwards, there's a whole heap of other stuff that goes with it. You do little promos, social media things and that as well. So it's not like you have sex and then cuddle. You have sex and then you're filming like reels or getting stills and stuff as well. So, you know, and I'd maybe do that 3 to 5 times a day on a content trip. So
yeah. And it's very transactional. It's very business. It's, you know, while you might enjoy it, it's not the connection that you get when you go home. Yeah. Right.
It's just a physical thing that you're doing. And it is performative as well.
Right. But see, that's where I would have a problem. Even if my ex-girlfriend came out to me and said, yes, I'm on OnlyFans, and yes, I'm selling my pictures, and I'm not performing with other men, and either you take it or leave it, I would probably have to have said, I'm going to leave it, because that's a part of her world.
I think you've got to like put yourself first. Like, you know, if my current partner was like, look, I don't want you to continue with this, I'd be like, well, unfortunately, you're not the person for me.
Well, and I'm sure that's what the response I would have gotten from her. She would have probably, I would have said, you're not the person for me if you're going to continue. And she would have probably said, yeah, I need somebody who can support me doing this. And so, yeah, interesting. I have a question for you that you may also get asked a lot. And I ask it a lot because I've been a very big porn consumer in my life. And we hear these stories that in the porn industry, especially here in America, that either many of the women, let's just stick with the women for now, are either trafficked or there because they're there for drug fixes. Like, they're there for the heroin, they're there for the crack cocaine, or they're there for maybe just the alcohol, or they're there, whatever. Where's your stance on that? Have you done any drugs and alcohol? And when you perform sex, are you completely straight?
Yeah, I mean, definitely, like, I think it is an industry that can, you know, take advantage of vulnerable people, because, you know, people who are in these vulnerable positions or trafficked or stuff, they can get quick and easy money for not having to do a lot, really, but put their kind of body on the line for like a little bit. And so people absolutely do get taken advantage of. And I think that was one of the big things in the studio era, especially in the 80s and 90s and stuff. You know, like, studios kind of did have the control and they would drop some money. And I know a lot of ex-porn stars who had absolutely awful times running through those studios because they were vulnerable. They did get taken advantage of, and they really didn't get paid that well compared to what the studios would make. Like, they don't get royalties. They don't get continuing money. They just get a one-time payment. But then the studio can, like, generate money from that. In my experience, OnlyFans has been able to help stem that a lot, because it no longer is the control in hands of a company or a conglomerate. Right. The control is in you, the creator. You're running your own business. So you can put as much or as little effort as you want into it. I think definitely there would be creators out there that would, you know, take advantage of people. I have seen things online, but generally they start to get called out or get a bad rep.
Yep. And through another interview again with Vic Legina, he told me that he would never work in a studio where there were drugs. He said one of his very first films that they were all smoking crack somewhere, and that he said that was the last time he ever filmed an adult movie where there were drugs and alcohol involved. And I think the whole adult entertainment industry is switching. Now women are getting involved in producing porn, right? So we're starting to see a shift. Where, because I think porn wants to clean up its act. I think it wants to
And I think by, you know, people now being able to set the terms of what it is that they want to be able to work with people rather than accepting a contract and accepting whoever it is. Because I guess the studios were probably run mainly by men, and women were being pulled into the studio system because and just being told what to do. And now the top OnlyFans creators worldwide are women, and they're making multi-million dollars.
Yeah.
Month, you know, so now they're able to establish their own companies and things, and they're able to set the terms. So it's been really empowering. I mean, women have always been more in tune with their sexuality, I think, than men. We're compulsive, we act in the moment. Women know that they know that they can control through sex. They know that, like, for years have been able to, you know, use their sexuality to get what they want out of men. And in order to do that, they know that they're more in tune with their sexuality because it's more of a thought process. And so now, you know, it makes sense that women are now becoming the big players in the OnlyFans and the porn space. Definitely, I've never used drugs and stuff on set because I'm there in a professional sense. Like, for me, it's my business and it's my reputation. So if I fuck it up, I'm not just fucking up one shoot. I'm fucking up my business. And
your brand. Your brand. Brand. Yeah.
And with social media today, like, it only takes me to work with one creator who may have 500,000 followers and them to post something negative about me from a scene I've done with them. And then there it goes.
Yeah.
Back then, there was no social media. If you said something, it went nowhere. So
yeah. Yeah. Interesting.
There's a lot more online accountability today.
Yeah, and I'm not a big porn consumer now these days. Not now that I'm sober and I'm getting a little bit older, and it's just not my thing today. But there was a time when I had a library of DVDs back in the DVD days.
Yeah,
and then
I worked in an adult shop as one of my first.
Yeah, I did too. So maybe I'll tell you a funny story after we record. I got two questions here, and then maybe we'll start to wrap it up a little bit.
No worries.
I don't know if you've answered this. What are some of the misconceptions of OnlyFans? Because when you hear the term OnlyFans, there are two types of reactions. There are some people that are going to be very receptive to it because maybe they've subscribed to it, or they're completely okay with it, or there's going to be the side where, oh, that's disgusting. What would you say to the people who either side.
It's a fair question. I mean, when I say I've got an OnlyFans now, usually someone else will be like, oh, I've got one too. You know, like, I think OnlyFans has really started to break down the stigma around sex and sex work and make it a lot more accessible because people have started to realize, hey, I could put a picture up and make some money too. It may only be $5, but that's my coffee, you know. So people, I think, have started to realize because it's more accessible and something they can do too. I've definitely noticed the stigma around sex work starting to drop a lot more and become a lot more acceptable. I think some of the biggest misconceptions though around OnlyFans is that you film a video, you put it up, and you're going to make a lot of money. That's not the case, because filming the scene is probably the easiest part. For me, you know, I don't actually film sex scenes every day or every weekend. We'll do them in blocks, in trips, or like we'll organize kind of like content weeks where we rack up our films. But for me, my day-to-day biggest thing is marketing, like social media, dealing with the back end of OnlyFans, like uploading, running content, schedules, all of that. Essentially, you're running a business. So I would say, like, one of the biggest things is that people think, like, oh, they're just a sex worker, they don't know anything. Some of the people I've worked with on OnlyFans are probably some of the smartest business people I've ever met.
They would have to be to
100%.
Yeah, to take a platform like that, and like you said, there could be an average housewife who, when their husband's at work, they put on the camera in their bedroom and they start doing whatever they're doing, but she might only make $100 a week, where you're more invested. Like you said, you film many. It's almost like podcasting, because I will, like, this week I have 12 recordings, but they're not going to be seen for 3 months, or heard, I should say. So do you film a bunch of clips?
Like,
or
last year we went to Barcelona and I shot 27 scenes in 10 days.
Wow.
So, You know, so like we're shooting 3 to sometimes 5 scenes a day, and you know, they're still in the pipeline kind of thing to come out. But like, definitely, like, you know, I think when I started, I didn't take the money and just start spending it. I started investing it into the platform,
which is something that's smart. Yeah,
we can grow this, and we did. And obviously, my socials, I didn't start where I was. I started with 0, like everyone else, and I just had to invest and learn and how to use socials and navigate that as well. And so, you know, like, it's when you look at the successful OnlyFans creators, they actually have big teams. They're very smart business people, and they know that sex sells. And, you know, they're not looking at it like it's just sex. They're looking at it like, how can I invest in this business and make it grow? And like any business, any small business that starts, you want to look at, how can I make this more efficient? How can I grow it? How can I start to relieve some of the stress on the things that I'm doing? Like, there's a whole heap of stuff. So
is fair to say that this is your only job? You don't have any other income?
It's actually not. I work full time as well.
Holy Christ. Well, so do I. I just got home from work. I shoved down something to eat and I jumped on to record with you. But yeah, my goal is to retire within a couple of years and make this my full-time income. And I'm aggressively working on that. So, and maybe you too. I don't know how much you make on OnlyFans, but you're
not as much as I'd like.
Seriously?
I would love to be able to. I think for me, being a gay creator, it's a lot harder because I'm dealing with a lot smaller market share, even though
you're the top rated.
Yeah. I'm still only dealing with, you know, probably 5% of the market, whereas the straight women are getting 45% of the market. So, you know, like, I'm always going to be at a disadvantage for that, simply just because not everyone is going to be into a gay bloke, which is why I'm sort of looking at, you know, starting to work with women. So,
but this is my, of all the gay men out there, and I don't know the stats, so I'm not going to try to make one up, but there are men who are out, and they are gay, you know, they're out of the closet. And then there is a slew. I'll make up a number. There's probably 25% of like married men or just men in general who are gay or gay curious. And in the privacy of their own home, they could tune into your show and satisfy their urges.
That's the majority of my audience.
Thank you.
Really gay guys, because I think for gay guys and the gay community, sex is very accessible anyway. So the idea of paying for porn is something that they're not really keen on, because they can just go to the bar or they can open Grindr, like a dating app, and get someone over. Whereas I think like the closeted guys or the bi guys who are on the down low, who they don't really want to be seen on the apps. They don't really want to be going out to the gay bars. So they're the ones that are more likely to engage in buying a subscription, because it's private, it's discreet, and they can find someone they like.
And nobody knows
no one knows.
Knows, yeah.
And I get a lot of messages from guys being like, hey, I'm married, but I came across you on Instagram. I don't know why, but I found you really hot and I subscribe to your OnlyFans and I really enjoy your content. So
that make you feel good?
Yeah, it does. It makes me, it's actually, what it's done is actually taught me as well a little bit that, like, you know, when I came out as gay, I thought it was you were straight or you were gay.
Right.
Because I felt like that was just what I thought growing up. But I've started to realize now that it's more like a sliding scale, you know, like people, and even in myself now, I'm starting to slide that scale a little bit, because I'm bi curious, but in the other way, like I'm looking to maybe play with women. So I'm not, you know, my sexuality isn't 0 or 100, and everyone is along that. I think they call it the Kinsey scale, where you somewhere in that line, and you know, you may be 80% straight, but there's that 20% there where you're a little bit curious about the other sex or the same sex or whatever. And I'm learning that number's a lot bigger than what I used to think.
Your day job or your other job, do they know what you do?
No, I try and keep my professional day work and my OnlyFans side hustle very separate, and never the two shall meet.
Okay. Other than the fact that you're well known in Melbourne, I would think that somehow somebody might find out one day, but I guess you got that covered.
People definitely have found out, but I think, you know, like in Australia, it's sex work is protected federally under the law.
Really?
It's actually not illegal. And so I'm not doing anything wrong because I'm doing all of this in my spare time on the weekends and stuff.
Okay.
So like it started out as a side hustle for money. It's sort of grown into like a bit more consuming now because I'm getting home from work and then I'm logging on to do my OnlyFans stuff at night. Which is
just like me.
Kind of like running your own business in any sense, you know. I don't know if I would give up my day job altogether to do OnlyFans full time simply because I don't know, like I'm 40. I don't know how many years.
How much time you have left. You'd be surprised.
I mean, I've been nominated for Pornhub's Daddy twice. So I think Daddy could be, you know, extend quite into my 40s.
Colby, you got a few good years left in you. I would even think maybe 5 or 10. So don't forget, your age group is going to grow with you. So the 30s that might be watching you, 40s, when you hit 45 or 50, the 50-year-olds are going to come watch you. So
I'm finding that as I get older, I'm actually attracting younger guys.
Younger guys. Well, if you got the daddy thing going on, sure, it's gonna happen. All right. One more question that I think you also probably get asked a lot, and I just need to ask it because I'm curious and my audience might be curious. You just said that last year you went to Barcelona and you filmed 27 days of sex scenes. When I was 20 or 25, I could probably have done that and got an erection every single time, especially if, depending on if I'm laying on the beach in Barcelona. I don't think there's a beach in Barcelona, but you get the idea. I could do it. The bottom line is, do you ever need to use Viagra?
All the time.
Wow. Okay.
Look, don't see the shame around.
No, I'm not judging. No.
No, but like, you know, like even still today, you know, people do get kind of like shy about things or like that. I'm also on testosterone replacement therapy because my testosterone levels, I did my bloods, were lower as well.
They're dropping.
Because I'm in hitting my 40s and, you know, that level drops. It feels like I'm 20 again. So, you know, like I'll pull out every trick in the book kind of thing because why not? It's there, it's accessible. And you're right, like doing that amount of content is, you know, you're not designed to do that. So I'll take whatever help I can get, and I'll advocate for it too. So.
Yeah, I there was a time in my life not too long ago that, especially when I got sober, when I was drinking and drugging, and there was a lot of cocaine use, and I had no problems performing. But when I got sober, I didn't know how to perform anymore because I didn't have the alcohol lubricant and the cocaine or whatever I was doing. And I had to go to my doctor 10 years ago and said, at the age of 50, saying, I can't get it up. And I don't know what the fuck is happening, but it scared me. So for about a year, he put me on, it might not have been Viagra. What's the other one? It starts with a C.
Cialis.
Okay. Cialis, thank you. Last question. Yeah. Yeah, well, Cialis is the one that lasts 36 hours, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. Okay. One more question, and then we got to say goodbye. But I want you to tell everybody where we can find you.
No worries.
Do you think the porn industry, and I mean the porn, the California, Florida porn industry, and the OnlyFans and everything in between, is affecting the dating scene? Do you think men are getting tired of women? Because there's a whole thing about women and the red pill movement and all that, that they would just rather stay home and masturbate and watch porn because it's free, it's quick, they get off, and they don't have to deal with a woman. And I'm not putting women down, because there's a lot of great women out there, but men who are married. And yet, so you see what I'm asking?
I think it's even broader than that too. Like, I think even in terms of from a gay perspective, like I hook up with a lot of married or straight guys because they just want a quick physical release, and for them they say that like, fuck, dating is so hard because I just want to get off with someone, but there's these expectations that come with it where I have to do dinner, I have to take and get to know them and that, Whereas I can just open Grindr or go on OnlyFans and I can get exactly what I want. This is what I was talking about, how men are a lot more impulsive when it comes to sex. Like, we're more in the moment. We get a boner and we want to get off. Then they're like, it's just easier for me to come by and get my dick sucked than it is for me to have to try and connect with someone on Tinder or eHarmony and go through the whole process. Because by the time I've gone through that, I'm not necessarily horny anymore.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think, like, definitely the fact that things are more accessible, that you can just jump on, you know, even if you're straight, you can jump on the OnlyFans and start chatting with a fantasy woman and get off with her straight away. It is absolutely affecting the dating scene. And I think that there's a big shift now where women have kind of, you know, like, and as they should do, get equality and stuff. But that means as well that those expectations around how sex works and dating is also going to change, and it is changing. I definitely think as well, as a result, women have also become a lot more sexual too, where, like, you know, I know a lot of chicks now that they just want to get off too. Because, you know, they used to be labeled a slut or a whore or, like, you know, like, and the guys weren't. But now, that because sex is a lot more accessible and accepted, where, you know, women are now saying that, oh, hey, I just want to get off too. I don't want to have the whole fucking thing either.
Yeah.
I'm going to jump in and find a hot guy to root me. And the guys are like, great. So I think it's shifting definitely where it's on both sides.
I have yet to run into a woman on a dating app that wants just to get fucked, but that's not...
Maybe you're on the wrong dating.
And I am, because that's Tinder and some of the other ones that are typically designed for just that. Hey, let's hook up and meet and do it.
Yeah.
But I'm not looking for that. I am looking for a relationship, a monogamous relationship where I can, because I'm getting older and I've had my fun. I have been out there and I have been around the block several times. And it's time for me to, like, after I'm done working, like you, I come home from work and I jump on my computer to edit, to book, to record, like we're doing tonight. When I'm done with you, I got an hour and a half of editing to do. My days are from 5:30 in the morning to 8:30, 9:30 at night. But it would be nice to have somebody, when I'm done, to go sit next to, and maybe she can rub my back, I can rub her back, we can jump in bed, maybe have sex, watch TV. Anyway.
Someone that has nothing to do with your work so you can disconnect.
Thank you. Yeah, exactly. Connect and get out of that world and go into another world. So.
100%.
Kobe, tell us where we can, first of all, find you on OnlyFans and then any of your social media. And I'll put all of that in the show notes and then we'll say goodbye.
Yeah, I mean, it's just my name, Kobe Falks. So KobyFalks. So OnlyFans.com/KobyFalks. And that's also how you'll find me on Instagram. And you'll also find me on X or Twitter. But it's just Kobe Falks XXX on Twitter or X. So, and from there, you'll hit my link in bio and get access to everything. I'm also on Pornhub, so just search my name, I'll pop up.
All right. Yeah. From what I understand, Pornhub cleaned up its act. It stopped.
Yeah.
There was a lot of revenge porn, kiddie porn, all sorts of stuff. And they according to Vic Legina, again, I'm sorry to keep bringing him up, but he said that they cleaned up Pornhub. And
no, Pornhub's a very big supporter of amateur creators too. So
right, yes, correct.
I can upload my videos to Pornhub and put them up for sale and make money. So they're really keeping up with the times.
They are. So
this is why, Kobe,
thank you so much for coming on and being so vulnerable and open and telling your story. And I wish you the best of luck. And I'm going to follow you. I'll follow you on all the social medias, and we'll talk soon. Okay?
Thanks so much. Appreciate you having me.
I'd like to thank Kobe Falks so much for coming on the show all the way from Melbourne, Australia. And you know what's interesting? Well, a couple things. One is that while he lives in Australia and performs in Australia, he said that his biggest fan base is this here in the United States, which is pretty wild. I don't know. I would think just move to the States, you'd do a lot better. Anyway, that's just my thought. Learned a lot about the OnlyFans world. Because I am not an OnlyFans fan, and I am not I've never even been on that website, not once. And maybe 10, 15 years ago, if it was around, I might have like indulged in that, but just not my scene today. Thank you, Colby. And thank you for listening. And if you're enjoying the show, please take a couple of seconds to go down and rate, review. If you got something really nice to say about the podcast, leave 5 stars. If you got a complaint or something you don't like, just shoot me an email. Let's talk about it. Maybe something I can fix for you or whatever. Just help me out there. And if you can, buy me a cup of coffee. And of course, you will see me on all my social media platforms, TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, Threads. I forget now. There's so many of them. I can't even follow all the social media I'm on. And please tell a friend. If you got somebody who's dating in the digital world, pass this podcast along. And until next week, folks, Anonymous Andrew. Ciao.